Another Saturday in CCO land has come around, and it's time once again for a little car care here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Denny Long here. If you're new to the show, thank you for checking us out. Let me introduce you to Nick Stoffel. He runs a place on Grand Avenue in St. Paul called Lloyd's Automotive. He and his pal Dan have helped us out for many years here on CCO. We're going to do that very thing today, too. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
How are you? How are things at Lloyd's this past week?
Things are busy. You know, it's a good time to be in the car repair business. And you know, the weather could be a little nicer, but we'll get everyone fixed up. So when the weather does become 65 and sunny, they'll be ready to hit the road.
Absolutely. We hope to see some of that maybe later on this week. In the meantime, if you need to bring in your vehicle, your car, your truck, your van, whatever the case may be, for service at your favorite dealer or your favorite shop, and you want to know maybe ahead of the game what could be ailing, what you might be facing, why don't you call Nick or send Nick a text, either one number to remember to get it done, 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. Already this morning, getting a bunch of text messages, Nick, one of which is, I can just generally speak to it, with the potholes that you and your crew see at Lloyd's. How often is a wheel alignment necessary when the folks bring in their vehicles after, you know, some pothole damage?
Well, if you have, if you've had a considerable or a significant impact with a pothole, even if you didn't lose air in the tire or, you know, require any kind of repair there, it's not a bad idea. If you're concerned, like, you know, that teeth jarring type experience, have the car looked at, not just the alignment, but, you know, the tie rods, the ball joints. The tires themselves, you know, they're a radial tire. If you catch a pothole on the inboard edge of that tire, you could create a bulge where there's a separation in that that could create an issue for you down the road. So, you know, to see the spring season, we you know, they're fixing the roads as we go along here. But when you get in for your service, just ask them to take a look at the front end, make sure things are tight, have them check the alignment, make sure things are straight. You don't want to wear out a tire prematurely because of that. So, you know, it's just another season in the Minnesota weather system, and you got to kind of go along with it, make sure that your car will be ready for whatever travels you have coming this summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, too, that Nick will need to take his leave in about a half hour. So if you have any kind of a car care question, don't wait. We'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text before we run out of time. You know, you guys there at Lloyd's and we here at CCO and on our text messages and sometimes phone calls, a lot of electric vehicle questions are coming aboard. I'm sure you hear. In fact, you guys probably chat about that amongst yourselves at Lloyd's. Let me get this first one in here. Hi, Danny and Nick. My question to Nick is if you can actually afford an electric car or truck, does Nick think they, meaning the electric cars or trucks, would be easier than a gas vehicle to maintain? That comes from Mark in Minnetonka. Loves the show. Thanks, Mark. What do you think as far as maintenance at this point?
Well, yet to be seen. I mean, you know, the comment, if you can afford it, you know, oftentimes vehicles in general that are more expensive, sometimes the bells and whistles are some of the costs, but a lot of times the refinement, the quality of a lot of the things are a higher quality, making the vehicle more expensive. So a lot of the higher end electric vehicles are very different than the combustion engine type vehicles in those senses. But I would say that you don't have the mechanical engine, which is many, many moving parts with an electric vehicle. So there's a difference there for sure. But all the other systems, braking, steering, suspension, a lot of the maintenance repairs that we do in vehicles these days are the same. So there might be it'll be a change, and you know, it's in everybody's front of everybody's mind because you know there's a lot of talk about it, and it's a great technology. It's going to be the future, clearly, but we, you know, it's going to take a little time to get there. You know, the infrastructure, and you know, they need to make enough of these vehicles long enough so we can see what is the time to get there. You know, the infrastructure, and you know, they need to make enough of these vehicles long enough so we can see what is the batteries really do in our climate after 10, 12, 15 years? You know, what is the life going to be like? How are we going to replace? How are we going to recycle? There's a lot of stuff that comes into play with this, and I'm excited for it. We've talked about it before, and, you know, it's the next phase in cars. You know, you go way back, there are carburetors and points and condensers, and there's, you know, a lot of changes in the last 100 years to vehicles, to our way we get around, and it'll continue. And as long as we kind of get excited about it, participate in it, learn as much as we can, you know, educate ourselves, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a good trip.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we talk about it from time to time. The internal combustion engines that we have on the road now, we're not going to see those go away tomorrow. They're going to be with us for a while. And you guys at Lloyd's will be working on those very engines, right, for quite a while yet.
Well, you know, I know there's a lot of literature on the timelines that they want this to all happen. And there's a lot that has to happen. Like I mentioned, you know, infrastructure, the ability to charge the vehicle, you know, I mean, just not just having enough power at the power line, but how are you going to get this system into your garage or into your home? If you're a renter, I mean, there's a lot of variables that are going to take some time. And, you know, it's, you know, I personally think that like the plug-in hybrid is a great in our climate, in our environment, where we're at in the country. It's a great option. And I think more of those vehicles get sold out than used to. It's a compromise. You have the advantage of the electric vehicle on that really short trip. You have the ability to charge it with a 110 outlet, which doesn't give, you know, you'd have to charge it for a really long time to get like a full 200-300 mile range, which they don't offer. But on the plug-in hybrid, if you only have an 8 or 10 or 15 mile trip on a daily basis, your garage is already set up for that, you know, and it's a great alternative. You have the ability to head up north, which we all do from time to time, so you have a sub-100-mile trip. You don't have to worry about getting there and back. You know, the car's got the combustion engine as a backup. Like I said, it's a really fun time in our industry with the technology that's coming forward, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we have to take a break here. I'm going to alert Bill. You're going to be first up here on the phone when we come back. But a texter says this, and Nick has had some health issues lately, but this one says, tell Nick to make sure he rehabs his knee. So I don't know if that was from your doctor or what, but you're doing okay, we hope.
Oh, yeah, it's slow and steady. We're headed in the right direction.
All right, good to hear. All right, thanks, that texter, whoever that is. All right, stand by. We're going to take this quick break. Our phone number happens to be our text number as well, 651-461-9226. 39 degrees here in the Twin Cities, a rainy day. From News Talk 830 WCCO. I know Nick is there. I know he is. Has he left us for a while?
Sorry. No.
There he is.
Had you muted, my apologies.
Oh, very good. Well, that's all right. Glad you're still there.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, we're on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Our building number is 982, which is two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. So if you're ever on Grand having lunch or doing a little shopping, stop in and say hi. If you have to call us whenever, you know, 651-228-1316. And if you're in front of your computer or on your mobile device, we're at lloydsautomotive.net.
Excellent. We'll get you that info before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. Speaking of phone calls, let's grab one. Bill, we promised Bill in Big Lake he'd be first up here on the phone. Thanks for waiting, Bill. What's your question for Nick?
How's it going? Thanks a lot. I have a 2018-2019 Chevrolet Colorado.
Okay.
Radiator hose that seemed to seep a little bit. The car has now been sitting for a couple months, started right up after getting back to it, and I am not seeing that leak. Regular coolant level is good, not running hot, but seems like the lower clamp may be rusted a little bit and not actuating the way it should when the expansion and contraction of that hose. So I was going to replace the entire hose and both upper and lower clamps, and then add more coolant, obviously, and bleed the air. What are your thoughts?
It sounds like a good plan. I don't know if it's necessary. You haven't seen anything leaking since. I would say a lot of times in the winter months, things contract with the temperature, and maybe we might have a little wicking or a little seeping, some minor wetness. Oftentimes, you just snug the clamp up a little bit. That'll do the trick. Obviously, you know, if you're concerned, you want to go one extra step, getting a new hose, getting new clamps, new coolant, not a bad idea. Make sure when you have that hose removed, those surfaces that the hose slide onto, make sure they're clean and free of any debris or corrosion. We don't want to allow anything to wick through there again. So it's nice to hear people taking these jobs on themselves, not overly complicated. Make sure you follow the procedure, bleeding all the air out. Sometimes that can be a little tricky. You can get an air pocket somewhere. But I love when our listeners take on these types of tasks themselves and get a little dirty.
Yeah, I'm impressed too at some of our listeners who do that very thing. I look sometimes at open the hood and I look. I thought, how do you even get to the part? Because everything is so covered up and crammed in there. I don't see how you or your crews do that. But anyway, Bill, thanks for the call. Texter says this for you, Nick. 2014 Sienna van has no transmission fluid dipstick, nor does the manual mention one in the maintenance section. How do I know if my fluid is low or needs replacing? Well, there's something that's changed over the years, hasn't it?
Absolutely. It's harder and becoming less common to have a transmission dipstick, and some vehicles don't even have a dipstick for the engine. On the transmission side, you follow the manual. There's a drain and fill procedure, which is a little more often than what we're used to when we did like the big fluid flushes or we did the big filter kits. But now, on a more semi-regular basis, you'll see where you'll pull the bottom plug, you know, 3-4 quarts, so maybe a half to, or a third to a half of the fluid will drain out, and you replenish with fresh fluid, and you do it a little more often, and it's fine. You know, it's a good thing. If you're concerned about the fluid level, I assure you, take it in for a service, have them look underneath, or if you can get underneath your vehicle yourself. If it's not dripping, it's not going to be low. When they remove the fluid, there's a specification that tells you the quantity going back in. You put the quantity back in, and everything will be fine. On the engine oil side, many of these vehicles actually have a sensor that can calculate or figure the level. It'll have like a min-max, and it'll alert you actually if you're getting low on oil. So it's kind of nice to take that reminder out of our hands, and the vehicle itself will say, hey, I'm getting low on oil. It'll flash a warning indicator, letting you know you need to have that topped off. So as technology evolves with vehicles, they have found ways to make them, in some cases, easier to maintain. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, maybe it's not as easy because it's a little more difficult to do some of these tasks. But for, you know, folks in our business that have all the tools and the equipment, sometimes some of these are actually easier to perform than they used to be.
No, that's good news. Let's see. Phone number, text number, 651-461-9226. I know we have to break for weather in a moment, but let's grab another text. 2017 Ford Mustang, 22,000 miles on it, 3.7 V6. The oil is changed in the fall when the car is stored for the winter, probably only run for 10 minutes while getting it in position for the winter park. Does the oil need to be changed again before driving for the summer?
You know, we get a lot of those types of questions now and again in the fall, and not necessarily. I mean, if it's good and clean and you know, use a good product, you have a good filter, that might concern. Oftentimes we tell people to change their oil at least twice a year, and that's like the intermediate driving, meaning that, yeah, you drive it in the winter months, maybe go through a couple tanks of fuel through the winter, which means that you create a lot of condensation from the engine heating and cooling, and the oil will absorb that moisture, and we don't want to create sludge. So if you have a drive cycle, it's very short and infrequent, it's a good idea to do that twice a year just to keep all that sludge out of the engine. Now, if you put the car away for the winter, it's got fresh oil in it, it's just sat all winter, it's going to have fresh oil still. So these scenarios are different scenarios. And I just want to, you know, let people know, because we talk about it a lot. It's like the infrequent driver, yes, twice a year. If it's your summer driver, it's that your weekend driver, it's your like the car that's off in the corner of the garage, only you get to drive, I'm sure it's going to be just fine with that oil that you put in the fall.
Yeah, I bet. Okay. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a break, see what that forecast calls for, and we have a few minutes remaining on CCO's Car Care Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. This morning, Nick Stoffel, who runs Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, answering those very questions today. And Nick, we got a bunch before you go, so let's kind of do a little bit of a lightning round if we can. Here's a 2012 Sienna, 116,000 miles on it. Occasionally, Texter says, while parked in the garage and turned off for a few hours, Texter notices a whine or something running in the rear of the van. It appears to be the fuel pump in the gas tank, Texter thinks. Turns on the ignition and then off, causes the noise to stop. Any ideas on that one?
Vehicles are equipped with an evaporative system, and a lot of times there's like a leak detection pump that might be pressurizing the fuel tank to make sure it's sealed. So those tests aren't run every time we drive or park the vehicle. It depends on the criteria, but I'm sure it's normal. I wouldn't be worried about it. And, you know, if you are concerned, talk to your shop or your mechanic, your dealer next time it's in. But it's just fine. It's normal.
Okay, good. Great show. Thank you. Texter says, I need new brake pads. Should I get organic, semi-metallic, or ceramic? And how do I know what the originals were? They lasted 190,000 miles.
It's possible, not very likely, a set of brake pads last 190,000 miles. And if usually the longer-lasting brake pads are more expensive, and typically they're ceramic. So that would be my first recommendation, not knowing more about the vehicle.
Okay. I've never heard of organic brake pads. Have you?
You know, they might be talking about like a semi-metallic, you know, there's all kinds of products out there, Danny, if you look. But
yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, a ceramic pad is the best quality, longest lasting, and that would be most often the number one recommended item.
Ceramic material. Okay. 2017 Mitsubishi Outlander with bad transmission. Texter says, do you think it's worth fixing? Well, it's only a 2017, 125,000 miles on it. What do you think?
If the maintenance has been kept up throughout the life of the vehicle, it's got many miles left in it, I would say yes. You know, it's difficult. It's easy for me to spend someone else's money, but often I feel it's better to repair a vehicle, buy a new vehicle, replacement vehicle on your terms, not when you're in a bad situation. So you buy this transmission, you know you got a few more years, good to go. So you can start planning for the next vehicle in a couple of years versus going out and buying something that's on the lot now. So I always think it's better to repair the vehicle, get a little more time out of it.
I guess, Nick, this next texter is wondering if about the mileage, MPG, miles per gallon, on a 2023 Honda CR-V hybrid, only 850 miles, averaging less than 30 miles per gallon. They're all city miles, short trips. What are your thoughts? You think that's an okay mileage for a hybrid CR-V?
Well, I think they kind of told us why. It's because it's short trip city miles.
Yeah.
You know, in coming out of the winter season, but believe it or not, we like to fire our vehicles up. We idle longer. We let them warm up longer. We use more fuel. They're inefficient in the colder temperature. So I would suspect that come the summer months, when we all get out and move around a little bit more, that this listener will find that their mileage gets better.
Okay. There's a 2019 Honda Insight. My question is, Texter says, not about the hybrid engine. Instead, what happens to the TPMS system, the sensors, when tires are replaced? Their question is, are the sensors in the wheels?
Most often, the sensor's part of the valve stem. And we do replace it from time to time because they have a small battery that will wear out with time. But it's not something that needs to be done with the tire replacement. So you separate the tire from the wheel. The valve stem is mounted to the wheel. It stays there. You install new tires, and you go on your way. If you start getting a light, a warning light, or a flashing light, we can do a little investigating. Sometimes we find they just have to be reset. Sometimes we find that they actually need replacement. So not necessary with tire replacement.
Okay. Texter has a 2014 F-150 3.5 EcoBoost with a tiny passenger side rearmost valve cover drip. Is it okay to try and snug that rearmost bolt up? Do you know what they're talking about there?
Yeah, keep in mind there's specifications. You know, snugging is, my opinion is one thing, might be the listener's other. So I would find out what the specification for those bolts are to go through and retorque them. Doesn't hurt. It's worth a try. I think you're going to find it's not going to make the leak stop. Don't over-torque, because when you over-torque things, you break things. Then your efforts to make something simpler just became a lot more difficult. So find the spec, follow the spec, don't go off in any other directions and follow the instructions.
Here's a 2023 Volvo XC60. Texter says, I love the vehicle, but I keep taking it back to the dealer because none of the cameras and collision mitigation equipment works consistently. Do you think I should be concerned that I may have a lemon vehicle?
You know, have a good conversation with your dealership. If you're honest, reasonable, and they do the same, you should be able to determine if there's a underlying problem here in the vehicle. A lot of these systems are very complicated, so I don't want to throw the word, we like to use the word lemon law, and this car's a lemon, which could be the case. I don't want to say it's not. But just make sure, be honest, document everything, have good conversations with the dealer. There's a couple of those dealers in town. Maybe talk to another one and see if you can make some headway. Maybe you can get it repaired and you'll be satisfied. So just, you know, the best advice I can give people, when you go in, and I know it's frustrating, you spent a lot of money on your vehicle, it's broken, be kind. Be forthright, have a good conversation. I'm sure you'll find a good solution.
No, we're almost out of time, Nick. Another electric car question. I think I know the answer to this, but it says, good morning. I have heard electric vehicles are heavier than gas-powered ones. Is this true? And if so, what would be the reason?
The battery. Batteries are big and heavy. And I don't know the specifications, because you remove, you know, the electric motor has some weight to it, but maybe not as much as a combustion engine. So there's probably some trade-offs there. But those batteries are big and they're heavy. And we'd spend a lot of time talking about it. And they're out there. We see them on the road. But it's going to be some time. So don't get too excited or too worried. If you're really worried about having to buy an electric vehicle, you don't have to buy an electric vehicle today or tomorrow or in the near future. By all means, it's gonna take a while. We got a lot of steps ahead of us before it's the norm. So don't worry.
All right, that's good news. And I know we're just basically out of time. And I see one text attributing Lloyd's having the best mechanics in town or at Lloyd's. How about that? Unsolicited. That does not come from you or Dan, by the way. It was a listener.
We have a great staff. They work very hard. They're the best crew around. So I'm very happy to be part of that team.
No, absolutely. And some of the friendliest people, you walk in the door, it's just like coming home. Absolutely. For those, Nick, that need some help from Lloyd's, how do we get in touch with you guys?
Like we said earlier, if you need to, Grand Avenue in St. Paul, it's a yellow brick building at 982 Grand Avenue. If you ever have a question, give us a call, 651-228-1316. And if you're on your device and it's kind of poking around a little bit, check out our website. It's lloydsautomotive.net.
Can I talk you into coming back next week?
You know, I can. I think that's the schedule. I'm going to be doing a little more of this so you and I can spend a little more time together, Teddy.
We love that. That's for sure. And our listeners do as well. Nick, have a good week at Lloyd's. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Thanks, Nick.
Okay. Thanks, Teddy.
Nick Stoffel, he, again, is an ASC certified technician, runs Lloyd's Automotive. Stay tuned next with Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. Then get those lawn and garden questions ready for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney next hour here on 830 WCCO.